So much power.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is that time again. And I know that Eric might be waiting for something, but he's not going to get it today. As I welcome everybody into the second leg of the fall swing. A very interesting time for PGA DFS. Prize pools are still pretty good, but a lot of golfers that we don't know about or don't know a lot about. And Eric and I, well, we're going to break them down for you here today. And before we get into all that, Eric, because believe it or not, your boy, not my guy, your guy is coming in as the odds favorite this week. And I expect that we're going to be able to see something on our new sponsor of the show, Prize Picks. Well, their player prop-based contests are the way to get you started. Now, listen here. You won't be dealing with sharks, optimizers, or mass entries, none of that stuff. And you're going to even be able to get to play disc golf, not just PGA golf, Eric was telling me before. CSGO, NFL, they've got it all over on Prize Picks. So here it is. To get started, just pick 2, 3, 4, or 5 players available on the board to go over or under their projected scores. If you pick 5 players in a lineup correctly, you get up to 10x your entry fee. Prize Picks offers games with, as I said, NBA, MLB, WNBA, NFL, esports, PGA, and so much more. Of course, just download the app in the App Store or on Google Play today and make your first deposit using promo code AWESOMO. You're going to receive an instant match of up to $100. Eric, that's going to get anybody started. And I'm going to throw one at you. If we want to pick just Sam Burns this week, and his total score is, let's just say, if 69 times 4, so 280, 276. Would you take the over or under on Sam Burns this week? 276, so what's that put us at? Pretty good score, about 12.
12 under.
Yeah.
I mean, what I want to have happen or what I should be betting at that number, because I think you got to get odds too. And if you're going to be calling it straight out from that angle, what is his number over on the, there's a number of sports books we can look at, but plus 150 for a top 10 finish at a spot that I'm looking at right now. It rhymes with Schmam Schmings. So if you want to check that out, I think 12 under would be a little bit low on that spot. If that were the number that Prize Picks set for it, I would definitely probably be taking the over on that, but my heart is definitely invested in some Sam Burns this week. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, and he's the odds-on favorite. So thank you all for joining here, whether you're live or listening to us on playback or even on your favorite podcast provider. You don't want to look at the awesome shirt that Eric does have on today. I'm not going to lie. The chat already brought that up.
USA. USA.
Bang. Maybe you were betting on Europe and just don't want to hear any more USA talk. Well, podcast that'll be able to absolve all of that for you. So let's go ahead and talk just a bit about the fall swing here as we move into things. Okay, we've got a couple. Shriners is next week. Then we got CJ Cup and Zozo. Those are no cuts. I hate those. Then we go to Bermuda and Mayakoba in back-to-back weeks. That's kind of fun. Then we got the RSM matched up with the DP Tour World Championship. And I'm still going at the Hero World Challenge, December 5th. And then guess what, Eric? We'll see you in a month. We got a month off. So about a month and a half sprint, I would say, until the end of the actual season on the PGA Tour. This week, we're heading to Jackson, Mississippi for the Sanderson Farm Championship. And if you don't know Sanderson Farms, well, they are one of the biggest poultry providers and whatever else you want to, raisers, whatever you want to call them. We'll talk a lot about chicken here today. But let's talk about Jackson Country Club, par 72, 7,500 yards. Pretty much anybody can win here, though, right? We have Cameron Champ, Sergio Garcia, guys that hit the ball long. But before that, Ryan Armour and last from the past, Cody Gribble. So what do you take away from Jackson Country Club? I assume you've never played it, have you?
I have not. No, I haven't played Jackson Country Club. Played a lot of golf courses down there, but yeah, never That's made my way. Yeah. Just never made my way over there. This golf course, yeah, we have some familiarity with it at least. So that's a plus. I'm just kind of looking at all around everything for the most part. This is kind of like one of those research days where it's like, yeah, I'll kind of like randomly go through previous winners and do whatever else. I mean, we're still on a Ryder Cup high, are we not?
We are.
Okay. So yeah, that's fair. But you're a professional, you're a consummate professional. So I'm sure you'll pull all the weight here for me for sure. I clicked your run sheet. That's exciting. That's a big plus for me.
Well, even if you get that far, you're probably a little leg above most other people. It is rather detailed, but there are 4 par 5s and a drivable par 4. So that would lend to believe that you would be driving distance over driving accuracy this week, right?
Yeah, I would say so too. And I mean, we could talk grass type here as well. And going through some of these former winners, I mean, it's Sergio Garcia, I'm going to say it's going to be ball striking. We're kind of targeting JT Poston, though, too, is up there at the top. I mean, he finished third last year. Going through this leaderboard, I mean, it's kind of an eclectic group, pretty random scattershot types of players. You get Dylan Fratelli there as well. Poston T11, I guess, last year is kind of where he ended up finishing at. You have Sebastian Munoz. This is 2019 that I'm looking at here now for this one, coming off the Sergio as well. I'm going through there's guys who have definitely had a track record here. I think it's just kind of an all around game special. Sung J.M. second in 2019, I mean, about as all around as you can get.
Yeah, totally agree. A couple more things on the Sanderson Farms now. 144 players going to be playing this week, 140 exempt players, 4 open qualifiers this week. And the course and tournament will yield probably double digits of golfers that score over 100 points. We saw last year a lot of golfers that had one of the best putting weeks of their season. I'd say probably 4 or 5 of them, JT Poston, who you just mentioned, and a couple more, Eric. So do we just really want to target great putters that drive the ball far? I know that's a little hard to do given that putting is the most variable. But if you look at the leaderboard last year, Peter Malnati, I mean, filled with guys that got hot with their putter.
Sergio Garcia.
Who actually was closing his eyes to putt at this tournament during the win last year. Yeah.
It was excellent. And that's high quality entertainment. Yeah, I'm ready to rock with it. I mean, it's going to be pretty clear cut that you need to be making putts in any kind of a birdie fest. We've referred to that over and over again. It doesn't matter. You want to hit the ball close. That's absolutely a huge part of it. But if you're going to make a bunch of birdies in a birdie fest, if that putter gets going sideways, you just have no shot because somebody is going to make putts on some of these easier golf courses. That's just kind of the way that it goes.
All right. So I got a couple of names. We're going to do it a little bit backwards. I got a couple of names that you probably have no idea who they are. Maybe you do. I'll be excited to hear if you do. That are getting a sponsor invite to this week. Let's start off with the 10th ranked amateur in the world, since we're talking about Ryder Cup. This guy could be a future Ryder Cupper from Spain, Eugenio Chacara. I think I said that correctly. If I didn't, I'm sorry. Sophomore at Oklahoma State, already 10th ranked amateur in the world. This could be somebody to look out for. Have you heard the name before? How much did I butcher it if you have? And what do you expect out of a sophomore here this week on the PGA Tour debut?
Eugenio Chacara. Yeah, Eugenio. Absolutely. Okay, 6,400. We're ready to rock. Why not take some shots on him here? I mean, you're looking at this Oklahoma State team. Do we need to even go down the line? The number of ridiculous amateurs that have come out of there that will continue to come out of there. Matthew Wolf just set the world on fire early. Wins on tour at 21. Victor Hovland. Everybody
all
knows
five
him.
Matches in his first
all
ever
five
Ryder
matches stuff. Going yeah. back from Ricky Fowler on. I mean, they're just kid after kid, number one after amateur after number one amateur. Look for guys like this because they are more polished than they've ever been before. I would say 5 years ago, I'd be very inclined to not take shots on this because what's the upside of somebody really coming out there? Unless it's a Phil Mickelson who won a PGA Tour event as an amateur, unless it's somebody who's fully esteemed, Patrick Cantlay, when he was the number one amateur in the world, he ends up shooting 61, I believe, in Connecticut or 60. It was one of the two. He ends up shooting in Connecticut. So these kids have more upside than they've ever had before at this top tier. And so I'm willing at 6,400 to try to take some shots on him, but man, what a strange place to start a show.
Yeah, well, that's kind of how we do it, right? It's the fall swing, so I thought I'd add a little bit to it. Let's Love keep it. The oddness going. Former U.S. amateur champion. And these next two guys are tied together that I'm going to talk about, actually, because the first time we saw them was at the Masters, making the cut, making eagles, actually providing a great value. And first one we'll talk about is Andy Ogletree, because not only is he from Mississippi, but he's coming back from a torn labrum. Now, he really struggled when he turned pro after winning the U.S. Amateur. Was out since last April, though. Got surgery on it. Has played in a few minor league tour events and won those. Most recently won, I don't know, something in Greensboro, North Carolina. But with the pedigree that he had as an amateur, you got to think that home event, if he's ever going to be something, this would be a place to start the career.
Or it could just not go well, but he's got a lot of time going forward and he's just starting to get back, trying to get his sea legs on him a little bit.
Yep.
I'm happy to take shots on all of these guys. This is why the fall season is so fun. And I think we've talked before also how this is some of our most profitable DFS weeks of the entire season. People are maybe not paying as much attention with NFL, with NBA starting up next month as well. You talked about not liking the CJ Cup and the Noah Cut event. You just jam Justin Thomas and win money. So, I mean, that's a easy way to live your life.
I think one of them is over here, though. It's in Vegas. So remember, it's only jam Justin Thomas if it's over in Asia.
In Korea.
Yeah, in Korea. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the deal. I did not jam him at Vegas. I who was the big guy who won last year? Fantastic putter. Jason Kokrak. Yeah. Kind of like launched him, a little bit of a launching pad for his season. But we're looking at a different spot here, I think, for a couple of these guys. But yeah, Andy Ogletree, I'm happy to take some shots on him for sure. I mean, that win that he had, the spectacle wonderkind out of, I believe, Georgia Tech is where he played at. So Andy Ogletree, going to be a stud eventually. Maybe it happens this week, and why not take a shot on a local guy?
The other guy that he was paired up with out in that Masters, fighting for the low honors there, was John Augenstein, who missed his first 8 cuts as a pro after the Masters, but has made his last 3, including a T6 out at the Safeway Open, showing some really good resolve. I mean, similar to the Justin Rose story, honestly, this kid was great out of Florida State, now has found some footing. We've got a similar event to the Safeway here. Are we loading this guy up at 6,700? Are we giving him a shot again?
Loading him up, man, 6,700. Sure, you can have some shares. Again, both him and Ogletree, I'm going to just throw some reserve. They're underneath 7K. We're starting on this side because it's actually pretty fantastic to find some value right from the get-go. Because, I mean, even these top-end guys, as much as I love Sam Burns, and we're on Bermuda grass, so I really, really like Sam Burns. 11K is a tough number to get to without finding some exposure underneath 7K. And he's just another guy that kind of fits the bucket narrative there. We saw one start for him. Was August 12th at the Wyndham, top 40 there. Sure, take some shots. I'm not like over enthusiastic to be like, I need to get to this guy though.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about some of the guys we may need to get to. Or may have to get to, I should say. Yeah. And we're going to, of course, as it is the Sanderson Farms, we like to try and teach people not only what the golfers are, but what the event is. The 4 tonight, we had to dig pretty deep for that, but we still came up with a few things that we could tell that they did. Anyways, for chicken, well, we know they come in all different shapes and sizes. We know a chicken breast is the most protein of a meat that you could have versus a burger versus stuff like that. So let's start off with the meat of our lineup, the breasts, if you will. And let's start talking about Sergio Garcia, defending champion, 10,500. I know I got you a little cracking up here, Eric, on the side.
Yeah, but it's just more Jordan Klein just froze because he didn't know where we were going, I think, with that one. But yes, chicken breasts. I love the you know, it's a little bit of a Bikram yoga stretch, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, it is the meat, of course, the biggest guys, the most important part of the chicken, I would say, maybe.
Yeah. Not,
who knows? Sure. In any case, let's talk about Sergio Garcia. Coming off of the Ryder Cup, he honestly didn't look that great. There were certain spots where certainly as a teammate, he provided some thrills and dills. But a week after the Ryder Cup, defending champion, a lot of stuff going on. Is 10,500 just too much to start for Sergio this week?
I'm not sure what the narrative is going to be on him. I mean, the narrative I have is definitely, it must be nice to be partnered up with the number one player in the world for a number of matches. That's got to make you look pretty good. So depending on what the public perception of it is, I mean, I got to think that Burns and Zalatoris, I mean, for me, would be more of targets than I want to get to for even a little bit more than Sergio. And, you know, he's the defending champ here in this spot. I bet he gains a lot of traction because it seems like, coming off of last week, everybody has like a recency bias for him. He still played well and performed well in spots in that Ryder Cup. And it's so hard to take anything super formulaic other than I hope Dustin Johnson sets the world on fire when he starts playing here again. And we're going to see exposure on him go way up in the next time he ends up teeing it up. But Sergio Garcia, 10-5, if he ends up being really popular, going to be very easy for me to kind of hit eject and get to the other two cats.
Agreed. Sung J.M., you mentioned as a guy that possibly we should all think about, has a good all-around game and has a good couple of starts here. Also want to throw in Corey Connors, who hit 75% of his fairways here last year. And when Corey Connors does that, you would think that his iron game would give him enough birdie looks to get inside the top 10. It didn't, and he ended up gaining strokes, putting very, very minimal, but still gained positively. So if Corey Connor's iron game is as good as it's been, is that the spot maybe we want to start our lineups at 10,100, given how good off the tee might be for him here?
Yeah, I mean, going through this last year's leaderboard, it makes me pretty uncomfortable as far as from a putting narrative. I mean, Keegan Bradley, T4, Sergio Garcia, Peter Malnati, JT Poston can get it really, really rolling. But yeah, you're starting to find some of these guys as we move down. I do like Sung Jae-in. So we started to see him come back and have a little bit of form here. Somebody I was basically completely off for the entire summer. I believe it was Ben that brought him up before the Northern Trust. And, you know, he had a decent enough outing, and I should have just jammed a lot more at the BMW. A guy who's definitely capable of taking it low in some of those events, 23 under he had at the BMW, and, you know, can get that hot putter going. I'm willing to be taking some shots on him for sure. The Tour Championship T20, that's kind of whatever. Kind of hard to really read too much into it in a 30-person event here. But, you know, especially with it being as top-heavy and strong of a field as that is for a 30-person event, I like taking some shots on Sung Jae-im. I got to think Corey Connors is going to be the lowest owned out of this grouping in the 10K range. Maybe that makes some people intrigued for him. I haven't seen a ton outside of that one great Northern Trust, other than that one good tournament. He shot 62 on Saturday. If you can kind of put up the blinders on and be like, yeah, he can take it low on any given day, sure. But I kind of look at it where the rest of his entire golf summer, it just wasn't that strong whatsoever. US Open missed the cut. Scottish Open missed the cut. Open Championship, a decent enough outing until he played really poorly on Sunday. I could maybe get to a little bit there, but if he's going to be like really low owned comparatively, if he's under 10%, maybe that's somebody I'll have to go back and revisit.
Not messing around with Mito Pereira this week is DraftKings, and I appreciate it because I'm just done with that guy being 7,000% owned. And yet again, a top three. I mean, listen, 66-1 last week when the books opened was a great value. I know that a lot of people were a little heartbroken when he didn't end up getting it done, and Max Homa totally stole that golf tournament on the back nine from both McNealy and Pereira. But 9,900, I can't imagine you're running back there, are you? I mean, I know it looked good, but I can't imagine you're running back there.
I'm not running back there, but I mean, at the Barracuda, so in these field events where it's going to be, for the most part, the top end players are not your typical top end players.
He was Sam priced Bird up to 11,000. Yeah, that's all you got to say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he was 10-4 at the Barracuda. So, I mean, that was all of, what, a month ago, a month and a half ago.
And I think he was 30% owned still.
Yeah, he was 10-4. People like clicking this name, and there's going to be some upside, but you got to talk about everything relative to what you expect their ownership to be. We don't have ownership yet. It's Monday afternoon. We're talking golf.
Yeah, salaries just dropped like great. 5 minutes, maybe even 10 minutes ago. Like I checked before our show, wasn't on, checked maybe 10 minutes in, and here we are.
Yeah, and we're ready to rock, and I'm excited about it. Mito Pereira, I got to expect him to be somebody who's going to gain quite a bit of traction, and that alone kind of makes me want to scattershot the rest of the range here. I'm curious to see what Sebastian Munoz comes in at. So, I mean, as we're like moving our way down the board, Keegan Bradley, good course history. Sebastian Munoz, good course history. But it's also just that they're the best players in the field relative to the rest of the field quality. Yeah, right. So you can't just necessarily say that. They should be better on a given golf course as opposed to the rest of this field. So that's understandable to me. I'm not going to try to go too crazy looking at it, but Mito Pereira probably feels like an easy fade at 20%+.
Got a couple of guys in this field, and Zalatoris is the most obvious one that I do think are going to break through with their first win this year. Another name that has just been playing more consistent, just getting better, always being a viable option, especially in a field like this, is Harald Varner III. I think that we've seen him at least win globally over at the Australian Open. I mean, that's a pretty big event. I know that PGA Tour events probably are a little bit bigger than that, but he's been close in a major. I feel like this could be his year. It seems like he's playing with a lot of confidence. Maybe this is the week. Not sure. Maybe there's a better course fitted for him. But at 9,200, you mentioned Munoz. Is there that much of a gap between those two for you?
Yes and no at the same time. I mean, this is a guy that just really kind of almost snuck him his way into the Tour Championship here. He ended up playing the Fortinet Championship there. And you know, he's gaining, like he has these random putting spike weeks that we saw at the Northern Trust, 4.8 strokes gained putting. And you're going to see stuff like that out of him. If you can make that somewhat predictable, awesome. But his off the tee game is just so weak. Depends on how you're going to model that going forward. It's just, it feels like it's very hit and miss with him. And even at that Northern Trust, he lost 3.8 strokes gained off the tee. still finished 11. So, I mean, he was masking everything with the approach, with the putter. I think that he can maybe keep that going, but I feel like Sebastian Munoz just feels like such an easy click for me this week. And I got to expect Harold Varner. He's been gaining a lot more traction than what I've expected in some spots. And coming off of Fortinet, where, I mean, Sebastian Munoz just looked horrendous last week. So maybe you want to just write that one off. We'll see what his traction ends up being, but this is a place he's obviously played well at here in the past. I mean, I talked about the fact that he had won this event in 2019. So I'm looking at him as somebody that it really depends on where the public comes in on him, but straight up, Harold Varner's got the better recent form for sure. But I like Sebastian Munoz more as a complete golfer. So I'm going to probably get to more of him in the event that they're even ownership.
Mike in our chat, Mr. Campbell, is letting me know that a guy that I do end up maybe touting or talking about from time to time, it was only because I think he was a big part of one of my good lineups, and it's Andrew Putnam. Yes, I saw him post a 59 this past weekend at whatever course he was playing at or whatever, first time in the 50s he put. Putnam's an interesting fellow. If you follow him on Twitter, has had some interesting, I don't know how to put this without getting myself
in trouble. Go ahead.
Just go and look at his Twitter. You'll figure it out. Just some interesting posts about topics of hot debate in the world right now. Just some interesting views. In any case, 6,600. Guy can get hot with a putter. Maybe I'll click his name. He did shoot 59. Last time we tried that with Joel Damon, I think he shot 59 at the Mesa at his home course and then was playing an outlaw golf tournament. And then we ended up rostering him and playing pretty good. So maybe it is indicative of at least some type of form. But listen, these guys are PGA Tour professionals, you know, they can do that from time to time and then play terrible the next week. A couple of guys more in this range that I would consider for top of our lineup. Cameron Davis certainly is in the mold of Cameron Champ, kind of got that long ball game going on, gets hot with the putter. If he does, can compete. So Cameron Davis, 9,100, seems like with your focus on Munoz and then maybe Varner after that, he could get left in the dust. Unless, of course, you're going three guys in this range, which case he might fit well.
Yeah, I don't know. We saw him win the Rocket Mortgage, and outside of that, not much he's done has been that impressive where I feel like I need to be getting to him. I feel like more often than not, he's just kind of dead weight on your team. Like it feels like in this field, relative to the rest of the players, you would expect him to kind of jump to the forefront. But in some of these weaker field events, other than the Rocket Mortgage, doesn't look like it's really been there in a meaningful way. John Deere Classic T55. No thanks.
But he put up a lot of points elsewhere. Though. I don't know if that helps you or not.
Relative to the rest of the field, I mean, maybe what did he finish in points? 40th still?
Like, yeah, probably 35th, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to hit pass. I mean, yeah, he put up 17 birdies, I guess, in that one, six bogeys and a double over the course of 72 holes. That's still pretty flat for me. Yeah, I'll pass.
Okay, guy that came in the top five of strokes gained off the tee in this event last year, probably, if we go through his yearly thing, was his best performance. So does that mean it's going to happen again and this course just sets up really well for him? Or did Charlie Hoffman just have an incredible week putting the ball on the fairway? What are you leaning toward as a golfer standpoint? Do you think that there are courses that set up better for you off the tee than others? Let's start with that question.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. But the one thing that definitely helps the most as far as when it comes to Charlie Hoffman is if you get one of those random spike iron weeks, which we saw, I don't know, the entire summer, you're going to need them. Like that's kind of the way that Charlie Hoffman operates. And some of these weaker field events, I mean, the Charles Schwab third, Valero Texas Open second, seventh AT&T Pro-Am, also a weaker field, comparable to the rest of the events that he's playing over the course of a summer. The dude balls out when there's nobody else at the top ends of fields. And that's when I start wanting to get very interested in Charlie Hoffman. The irons, if he spikes these irons ever, you're in a spot where you absolutely just need exposure. I don't know if I want to make him a core piece of everything I'm doing. It depends on where ownership starts falling on some of these guys. I think there's enough narratives where I can talk myself into certain guys, but it seems like he plays well in the South here. Seems like he plays well in Bermuda. I want to fire him up quite a bit at the moment.
Me too. I see no reason not to play him. 9K in this field is pretty good. I think if you're playing cash, he would honestly be one of my first clicks. I think he's extremely reliable. Sign him up for a miscut because that's just kind of how things go. I think we've probably covered most of the guys, Siwoo Kim and Cam Tringale. We did not mention in the mid-nines. We did mention Keegan Bradley. It seems like both you and I are interested. Of course, he's one of those guys that could spike with ball strikers. So in this field, you got to have some allocation. But how about Kim and Tringale? Afterthoughts, it seems like, for both of us this week.
Yeah, I'm not a big Tringale guy. And looking at the odds, either. I will also say, going back to Charlie Hoffman, he's the fifth favorite as far as this tournament goes.
At 9K.
I'm looking at 9K. That's shocking to me that we're able to get him at 9K relative to the rest of the field. And when I say that he balls out in these weaker field events, he just, I mean, top fives. Like, it's ridiculous how many times he does this. I got to expect that because of those odds, maybe he'll vault up the board and be more popular than I think he'll be. But in the event he's under 20%, I'm going to jam so much Charlie off. But I think even just looking at those odds make it a little bit more clear cut for me. But going back to Cameron Tringale, who in full disclosure is seventh in terms of in terms of odds to win this golf tournament, I just never really get to him a ton. He always gains quite a bit of traction, but his top five equity, I mean, he's put himself in some spots. The Northern Trust, he was playing well the first two rounds and then, you know, falls apart on Sundays. I mean, 71, 74, 72, that 3M, you know, everybody was playing him in victory lapping how well he played. Didn't even end up in the optimal, ended up tied 16th in that spot, shooting 74 on Sunday. Cameron Champ winning that event, of course. Congratulations on that receipt, Mr. Jason Roslin, because you called that one. But still,
didn't pay for my whole year, though, let me tell you. At least the DraftKings side, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a huge win. 125-1 or something stupid on Cameron Champ.
Good on the betting, for sure.
Yeah, absurd. So, I mean, there was a great betting year. And part of that is because I never bet Cameron Tringale. Not even close to a top 10 over his last 10 events pass.
All right. So before we move on from our chicken breast into maybe some drum wings or drumsticks, I should say, let's tell people about some of the Osmo Plus stuff that we've got for free today. Well, we've got a good football game tonight. The Eagles and the Cowboys, we've got some big players, and we've got the NFL deeper dive. That's coming up with Lofi and Svalka. That's coming up at 6:30. I'm going to have you help me out with that afterwards. But, and then we've got you coming up with looks like Matt G on the NFL Live Before Lock. However, if you want to check out our single game player rankings for the game tonight, well, that is free, part of our, of course, Osmo Plus package. And we've got one other thing for MLB there, Eric, today, probably a tool you use quite a bit. I know you're in that street, and that's our player rankings over there as well. So what do you expect for tonight's game? What do you think you're going to be talking about with Matt? Doesn't look like there's any injuries tonight, right? Looks like everyone's playing. So yeah, is it Tiny Pollard show and Ezekiel Elliott is done playing football? What's the deal?
Well, his name's Tony Pollard, but we'll give you some love. Again, you're in the golf streets. I was going to say, you've been enveloping over Oklahoma State's top 10 amateurs and figuring out exactly who to start.
I didn't know how to pronounce his name. You had to help me with that, too.
No, you're just fine. Tony Pollard. It's interesting. He still only played like 35% of the snaps here this last time out against the Chargers. But my God, is he a dynamic back? 13 rushes, over 100 yards in the spot. He's going to be sneaky on this. Well, he's not going to be sneaky to most DFS fans here, but going to be a guy if Zeke Elliott starts gaining a bunch of traction. If that thing gets close to a 50-50 split at any point, you're going to definitely want to be riding the Pollard side of it. Very curious to see where ownership lands in a lot of these contests. Play different sites. So play DraftKings, play FanDuel, definitely be playing on Yahoo, where you're going to see a great opportunity. We've got some great promotions running with them all the time, but get some allocation to some different builds on different sites, because I think this is the kind of game where if you can really land on the right build, just in terms of how you're going to handle these quarterbacks, because it's so, so close. I think certain sites make it a lot easier, being FanDuel and Yahoo, to be able to play both of them together. And then DraftKings, finding ways to get different, just in terms of who that's going to be. I'm going to side a lot with Cedric Wilson, who played 61% of the snaps, looking and making him a core piece of what I do. And of course, we're on a golf show, but I'm just finishing it out. Please God, Tony Pollard, please play 50% of the snaps.
Yeah. And listen, I'm a Pollard fan. In fact, one of my picks in the Osmo League here this year was Tony Pollard. And I got pretty much lambasted for that. And I'm sitting pretty now. I was 2-0, but I got rocked by our buddy Steve Buzzard this week. Just totally annihilated me. So I let everybody back in. Anyways, I had McCaffrey, so that's why. All right, let's get back to some golf. Let's go into our drumsticks, if you will, and talk about Taylor Gooch. Guy is playing great golf, maybe on that short list. Let me ask you, do you want to add him to that short list of golfers we think could break through for a win this year? or is he just not have a polished enough game? Your opinion.
Who are we talking about? I'm sorry.
Taylor Gooch. No, it's fine.
Taylor Gooch. Gooch. I absolutely love Gooch. It's so great that he gets the Gooch call now as opposed to Matt Kuchar.
Kuchar. It's so much better. It works out. Yeah.
What a fall from grace for somebody. But yeah, Taylor Gooch. I mean, this guy is good at golf. Can we just kind of accept that he's pretty darn good at golf? And
sure is.
I expect that just based on where he's priced at here. I mean, he's not in the field right now, is he?
Oh, wait, maybe he's not.
I was going to say, I don't think he's in the field, but he's very, very good at golf.
Maybe he withdrew.
I think he might have. I think he did, but he's not on the list here. He might have been on the original. I think he was on the tee sheet here, but yeah, no, he's definitely not in the player pool. If he gets added, be on the lookout for that lovely email you get from DraftKings that nobody pays attention to, that somebody got added to the player pool, but don't think he's going to be playing as of now.
No, he's not. So the T4 for him will carry him over for a little bit. Okay, let's start with somebody else then. That's what happens when pricing comes out like 5 minutes before the show. You can only go off the field list, which is not the DraftKings list. Anyways, let's try Emiliano Grillo. Same price that I was going to think Gooch was at, which is 8,700. Guy that's won in this fall swing before. Didn't have it really at the Safeway, but 8,700. Him, Carlos Ortiz. I'm going to guess you're going to say pass and look at Matthew Wolf instead.
No, I'm not. Okay. I mean, Matthew Wolf, I get it. And Matthew Wolf did some burning here. And Emiliano Grillo, my Lord, dude, like, what are you doing? Missed cuts in three of his last four, I believe in seven of his last nine that I'm looking at. That can't be right. Yeah, six of his last eight, he's missed the cut. Oh, boy. Okay. I probably can't advocate for Emiliano Grillo. I'm sorry, Ben Rossa, my boy. Can't do it. Can't do it this week with you. That's kind of the impression that I get. 8,700. It's just too expensive to pay for a zero in your lineup, so probably not going to do that. Sure, Matthew Wolf, we can draw some positive narratives off of his summer for sure. Hasn't looked as good, obviously, the Northern Trust. Throw that out the window. Like, that entire golf, like, for this playoff season, everybody's trying to make a push to get into that top 70, and he was kind of on the outside looking in to try to get in there. Didn't quite do it, not even remotely close, but it was a rough 2 days for him. Just kind of write that off. It had been trending up until then. I'm willing to take a couple shots there. But Carlos Ortiz, I mean, for me, I got to feel like the guy sandwiched right between them might be the guy that I get to the most in this range.
Carlos.
Carlos. Mr. Carlos Ortiz. So I just feel like the BMW, again, another write-off event for him there. He lost 9.7 strokes gained putting.
Yeah,
that's
bad. Really bad.
That's really, 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 really bad. But in terms of the quality of this field, I mean, we've seen him be another guy. I mean, the Waste Management fourth, Houston Open first. I mean, won in the fall swing last season, missed the cut here in 2020 as well. But somebody did in some of these weaker field events. I feel like he'll come in a little bit underrepresented compared to Matt Wolf, who's going to gain a lot of traction at that number. I think he almost always does by DFS fans. I'm going to prefer Carlos Ortiz kind of in that middle ground, and Seamus Power I always play because it's Seamus Power.
Yeah. I was going to ask you Power a couple months, removed from his win, but starting to play consistent golf out, obviously doesn't have to worry about his job this year. So Power 8,800. I mean, I don't hate it, but let me ask you about who I think is going to be the highest owned golfer in the field. Two-part question. What's going to happen if he wins to your PGA DFS lineup? And what's going to happen if he ends up missing the cut to your PGA DFS lineup? And it's Aaron Wise, 8,300, a guy that in scoring events, people love to click his name. And he's cheaper than everybody we've talked about so far.
He's mispriced. I mean, him and Patton Kizzire are going to gain a bunch of ownership. Oh, I mean, Patton Kizzire is going to be very, very owned as well. I'd say he's going to kind of be rivaling him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would say those two guys are going to be the most clicked names in a lot of formats.
Yeah, so in the last 50 rounds, just looking at their entire portfolio over the course of, you know, that's enough recent form and long-term form for me to kind of be happy. 50 rounds is kind of my sweet spot. Basically 10 events, 12 events. Aaron Wise, 14th in strokes gained total here, 36th for Gary Woodland above him, and Patton Kizzire, 17th. So it's like, Gary Woodland might gain some just because of the name recognition, but Aaron Wise and Patton Kizzire, they're not going to be sneaky whatsoever. In terms of DK points per tournament, Patton Kizzire is second in this field in the last 50 rounds.
No.
Second.
No. It's what he does, man.
So Patton Kizzire, for me, I think is going to be a little bit higher owned. I think he probably should be, but not that far behind is Aaron Wise, who, again, seventh in DK points. You're talking about guys like Sam Burns, Sergio Garcia, Cameron Tringali, And then Emiliano Grillo is third on that list. That's kind of freaky to look at. But we can kind of look at his recent form, at least have some logic about it. But that's the kind of quality of players that we're talking about. Aaron Wise, the most mispriced player in this field. Second, actually, next to Patton Kizzire.
CT Pan would lead you to believe that at 8,100, he's a good value given his recent form. I mean, he's had a good run through the Olympics. Obviously, what a way to win a bronze medal and earn yourself the highest paycheck of anybody in that field, more so than Xander Schauffele. Like, probably not when you include endorsements that Xander got from it. But still, he did collect some money and collected some money a couple of weeks ago. So CT Pan, run of good form continue here in Mississippi, or will he be floating down the river?
Wow, that was dark. I think for sure that you're going to want to get to a little bit of him. I mean, this entire range, Doug Gim, your boy, that is your boy, right?
Dude, what happened to him 2 weeks ago? I wasn't the only one that liked him. His ownership was pretty high. I think he was the highest of anybody in that range, and he bombed, man. I mean, gone.
Not bombed. I mean, he bombed that final round, 72. I mean, 63 in the Northern Trust here. I mean, he was.
No, he's got some good rounds. I'm talking about 2 weeks ago.
I thought
it was the best course setup for him all on season all tour. And
yeah, I mean, I didn't like him that week at all. The Fortinet, and he obviously played like garbage on that Friday. I believe he shot 74. I mean, click.
Why is it was 200.
There it is, 74. Yeah, it's weird how I can remember what he shot, but I don't remember what the tournament was. That's pretty dumb. The way my brain works. That's such a golfer thing where you can like remember the number that you saw on the board. Like, I can remember what like my best friend shot in the club championship 5 years ago, but I can't remember like.
You probably remember shot by shot if you were playing with him. To be completely honest.
I probably do. Yeah. I know for a fact that I do. It's so weird how that works. What a weird sport that we obsess over, but that's the price we pay for being good at golf. Let me tell you. But I love getting to this lower 8K range, just kind of through Doug Gim, CT Pan, Patton Kizzire, Aaron Wise. We'll have to see where ownership comes in. Cause something tells me it might get lunacy down here at the bottom. I know Doug Gim is also a DFS darling in a lot of regards because he can be a guy. Did you just fall? What happened?
No, I hit my mic. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just didn't have you pulled up. And then all of a sudden I thought you were like falling over and I was going to try to catch you. My bad.
I'm sorry.
Doesn't help. I'm in California.
Yeah. Matej Schwab is also priced here. A guy that, if you have watched Ben and I's content, and when we do talk about Euro, we do love this guy. And we love him because he's got the profile of a great ball striker. But as kind of tailed off, then all of a sudden came up in the Korn Ferry Tour, had enough points, and ended up getting his card. What do you think about him this week? I mean, we saw Sergio get it done with ball striking last year, but I don't know. I need to see a couple of starts from him before I jump in.
Yeah, I'm probably there with you. I mean, yeah, Bramlett, Pendrith, this entire range down here, it's
kind of dead. Yeah.
Kind of dead to me for the most part, just because you get so much talent at this low rates. I might be playing cash this week is what I'm starting to realize. Like,
I'm starting to
I'm seeing some interesting kind of ways to go about it. I mean, I'm like 95% GPP in the course of my allocation of like every sport that I play, but there's certain things where like cash just kind of makes sense on a week like this, where I think there's free squares. And if people don't want to click on free squares, that's 50, 40% of the field that you're going to be jumping past. And I think this lower 8K range is just so much better than this upper 7K range. And it feels like there's some tournaments where that's just not the case. It's the same way that like, I think that upper 9K range of this golf tournament just is going to be overvalued compared to what it should be. So finding ways to kind of get to this bottom 8K range, it might be a really nice kind of cash week. But for going for broke here, you're going to have some exposure to this upper 7K range. And I'm just not really sure where I want it to be. It's definitely going to fall underneath ownership. Scott Stallings is somebody who started to show a little something here. Maybe we can kind of click on him.
Yeah, he's played good through this fall swing.
Sixth last time out.
I mean, 7,700, we have to start considering these guys. Patrick Rogers was the name I had written down in this range at 7,600, playing really well. Another name that oddly sticks out, only because of his odds to win, K.H. Lee. Have you looked at the correlation here? 7,600. Looks like he's priced more with the Aaron Wises to win the tournament, though. So maybe just some value on the odds. Again, I mean, it's K.H. Lee. He had that big breakthrough win. You know, when's he going to get back there? Well, of course, nobody knows. Mackenzie Hughes was in that exact same boat, however, though. Just interesting with the odds. So those names, like you said, we're going to probably have to click at least one or two in this mid-7 to high-7 range for every lineup. So Scott Stallings, who's their your second guy? Any of the ones I just mentioned really stick out to you?
I like Gage Lee. I think he might be a guy that I get to quite a bit. And, you know, the BMW, which that golf course was just stupid and easy and all that ridiculousness, but really seems awesome. Like he's had some pretty good scoring outputs. I mean, the 3M 6th, BMW 12th here, obviously different grass types, but I do like getting to little Gage Lee in this range. I mean, 7,600, I'll definitely happily click on that a little bit. Mackenzie Hughes is hard. He's been consistent, but it doesn't feel like he's going to go out and win you a golf tournament or like win you a GPP anytime soon. It's kind of tougher to get there. Patrick Rogers coming off of playing really well as well. I mean, him and Scott Stallings, both T6.
He's in a run of good form, actually.
He's had Patrick a pretty Rogers, decent yeah. run. You're definitely right about that for Patrick Rogers here. The Barbasol as well. I like looking at how some of these guys perform in some of these weaker field events. And that maybe that's just something like, just to kind of combine with their recent form, feels like he checks both of those boxes. So it seems like probably a good spot to invest for sure.
How about if we're going with the driving distance narrative, a guy that definitely came on at the end of the year last year, Keith Mitchell, back on Bermuda. We know we like him there, course.
Can he putt blindfolded too?
What's that? Yeah, I know.
I would like to watch him putt blindfolded. That would be cool.
It can get bad at times, but beyond his putting, is he of interest to you at this week? 7,800? I would think so. I mean, it seems like a value. If Cam Champ was 7,800 in this field, I think I'd click him a lot. So I relate Keith Mitchell to him because I think their games are very similar. They both are terrible at putting. Both can get hot with their irons, but overall aren't good with their irons. So I think I like Keith Mitchell in this spot.
Yeah, I think you play Keith Mitchell. You want to put him with Taylor Pendrith. You want to put him with Luke List. You want to put him with...
He's going to ask about List next. Yeah,
Luke List, 7,500 sticks out as somebody that if you're going to be pairing types, and again, I'm looking at this leaderboard from last year, and it definitely looks like Sergio Garcia leads strokes gain off the tee in the course of this entire field. So, I mean, you want to just like build on that narrative. If you want to build on putting doesn't matter as much in this spot or bad putters can kind of succeed here more often than not. Put him, Keith Mitchell, Luke List, Doug Gim, that entire grouping of guys together. I think that could make some sense. I mean, Keith Mitchell, actually a better putter comparatively to the rest of the range of these players that are really positive with strokes gained off the tee. I mean, amongst this field, 45th in his last 50 rounds, strokes gained putting. So, I mean, even if he's just remotely competent with that thing, it could be a big week for him for sure.
Leading a list of names that even in a weaker field, I would consider this a weaker field in the safe way. These three names have gotten a big price drop. Chez Reavie goes from 8,400 to 7,700. Lucas Herbert goes from 8,600 to 7,200. And Steven Yeager goes from 8,000 to 7,000. Any of those three names that all did not play all that great, obviously, the safe way. Reavie ended up flashing, first round leader and then 36th in the event. I know a couple of people had him for first round leader. Nice bet. Good cash. I don't think it was either one of us, but I saw some on Twitter.
Nope.
Those three names, big drop in price. Are you clicking any? You could throw Brant Snedeker in there as well. I think he dropped 700 or 800.
Yeah. I mean, Steven Yeager just took a plummet. So he could not have been worse in his debut here for all intents and purposes here, but somebody that dominated. And when I say dominated, I mean, dominated the Korn Ferry Tour for top fives, like just scattershotted all over the place. Can I just go down the line? Nationwide second, Boise Open fourth, Pinnacle Bank fourth, Rex Hospital second, Visit Knoxville second, fifth Simmons Bank, first Emerald Coast. That's less than 6 months run of form where he's got like seven or eight of those things scattered amongst him on the Korn Ferry Tour. I'm looking at him as being a guy who I think could kind of hit the ground running. Scottie Scheffler kind of stumbled the first second that he ended up getting back on tour. And we know how ridiculously good and talented that dude is.
It's funny enough. He was like first at this highest price at this event last year. So goes to the point.
And we're talking about a guy who I think his golf game, just based on the limited samples we have, again, we don't have any of the strokes gain data for him for any of those Korn Ferry events. But back in 2019, when he was on tour quite a bit, he's masterful around the greens. And you get some of these games or you get some of these rounds where, you know, he still gained 2.7 strokes gained putting at the Fortinet. Barbasol, 5 strokes gained putting. Missed the event in both of them because he was so bad off the tee. I think as long as he's somewhat competent in that regard going forward, the guy just gets up and down from everywhere around the green as well. Could be kind of a sneaky guy at 7K if people are still burned from 2 weeks ago, where I think he kind of gained some ownership.
Now, when we talk about good putters, and I mentioned to you at the top of the show that this leaderboard, while it wasn't filled with good putters, it was filled with golfers that had a great putting week. The average strokes gained putter for the top 10 was 1.13, almost double every other strokes gained category. Off the tee was second with 0.7 amongst golfers in the top 10. So Brendan Todd is the golfer we've seen pretty much only get it done with his putter. T22 at the Safeway, 7,900. If you're building cash as a guy to click, I just don't see the GPP upside. I know he had those back-to-back wins at Mayakoba Bermuda, I think, which is interesting because they're playing back-to-back this year. I just don't see it for GPPs. I really don't. Maybe for cash.
Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of top eights anywhere in the last 2 years. Since the back-to-back Ws, I mean, Brendan Todd got really hot in the fall 2 years ago. It was 2019. The guy went nuts. He won the OHL, won the Bermuda. I mean, just ridiculous stuff. Played really well also in Georgia. We almost won three times in a row. He put himself in contention. I remember that just being like, what are we doing
here? Oh, the three-peat. Like, that's right. Dude, we were talking about
it. It was like 35 or 40% owned in that freaking tournament, and I faded, and it just hurt so bad because that guy burned me. That was my one bad fall season. Last year, great fall season, good times, great success. But 7,900 for Brendan Todd, sure. He might be a cash play for me, but probably not even that. I think we can find better and do better than him for this week.
Lanto Griffin, one of those guys. I know he was picked a lot last week, seen as pretty good value, ended up scraping the cut, but did nothing.
No, and he's not ever the most exciting play in the entire world for me. I would put him almost in the identical bucket. Recent form, not good. Lanto Griffin, I think, has got better form ahead of him, but man, it has been really, really rough. It's been really, really rough last 6 months for him. I'm probably completely off going forward.
Take your Euro pick here at 7,300 and below. I already mentioned Herbert. I'll throw in Aaron Rye and David Lipsky, all 72, 73 or 7,400. No, just 73 or 72. Mm-hmm. So pick your Euro.
No,
Matt Wallace, 7,100. Yeah. Matt Wallace.
And Rick Norlander, 7,200.
Oh, okay.
Give me some Norlander in my life. Played really bad at the Northern Trust. Had one bad round of golf, 75 there, but Barbasol, fifth. John Deere, 28th. I mean, he's definitely shown that he can kind of get it done and spike these weeks. I always just go back to like that Farmers where he got second, and it was just like an up and down clinic for him there. The Amex 12th kind of can get it going at a couple of these weaker field events as well. Obviously, that Farmers is not a weak field event by any means, but I'm thinking that at 7,200, he really sticks out to me. Matt Wallace did have his good run of form as well. It's been more brutal of late, but I think there's actually a little bit more upside for Norlander here.
Interesting. Okay.
That was when you say interesting, it's like, I disagree, but we're going to move on.
Yeah. I don't really have much more to say other than
other than don't do what I just said.
I don't love the spot here. For him. Maybe it's just because I got a bad taste and I tried to play him at the Memorial when he had good course history.
Do you want to go Henrik Norlander against Matt Wallace for a little coin on the side?
No, I don't like Wallace. That's the thing. Okay. He's way too. I would probably take. If you let me take Aaron Rye, I would take that. I think that Rye is playing good golf.
Oh, dude, way better player. No, Aaron Rye. That's okay. Hang on. I'll give you anybody you want underneath 7,300. Not named Rye. And Rise is 7,300 on the number, so you can't even take him.
I know. Whatever, I'll just take John Augenstein then, I guess.
All right, you, me, let's party.
Okay. With that being said, let's move on to a couple tenderloins. And if you've ever eaten at PDQ, oh man, I just thought of Ben, by the way. I gotta bring up Ben. Ben, listen, if you're watching the show, thanks, buddy. And also check out his new Betting You podcast. He won't be talking about chicken on there. He's going to be talking about college football, and he's one of the best out there. He's got Matt joining him. New episodes drop every Wednesday. Check it out. But Ben and I, when we did this show before he was pulled over to that, we always talked, it was during lunchtime, we always talked about PDQ and chicken tenders. If you ever had PDQ before, you know what I'm talking about. It's some of the best out there. But they're also the smallest, and these are going to be probably the smallest plays in our allocations, if you will. Maybe not, though, as Sahith Theegala continues to get it done. Didn't have a good Sunday, but last week, pretty good value. He dropped 600. So at 6,800, are you ready to buy into him again this week?
Yep, I'm a sicko. I mean, I'm just a mark for these dudes who I've actually like played golf with, and I'm like, oh, you're way better than me, and this is ridiculous.
So it goes the other way with Jordan Spieth, but that's another story for another day.
So we played at Crystal Air Country Club in a U.S. amateur qualifier, what, 2-3 years ago, and he just waxed me, and I was like, okay, so this is why he's... You know, the number one player out of Pepperdine. This is, you know, he was walking with his dad. They're just like so nice and, you know, doing his thing. Very low key, very chill. Just rips driver. It's him with that ping driver. It's a joke. But we've seen the upside start to come to fruition at the Korn Ferry Tour level. Really hasn't translated to the PGA Tour level yet, but I'm not concerned yet. I mean, this is kind of the same way that I don't want to say that I'm going to look at him the same way I look at Bo Hostler, but I mean, the Gala has more game, just like flat out more overall game.
You think so?
Forward. Yeah. Yeah. Then Hostler does. Hostler, and, yeah. And Hostler was, I mean, just Hostler dominating.
Hostler was an everything. Ian Poulter not wanting to go to the Masters away from being a PGA Tour champion. So
it's true. Well, I mean, the kid like played the US Open at 16 years old. So, I mean, I'm not breaking any news that he was a pretty good player coming out of college, went to Texas, you know, Southern Cal kid. But I'm looking at the Gala kind of the same way, where I think the potential is there for some big stuff. Whether or not it comes here is difficult, but if you had to tell me if he was going to win in the next 2 years, if I got that at like plus 300, I would take it immediately.
Like it. Okay. Let's talk about a couple more guys. Hudson Swafford, both you and I tried to play 2 weeks ago. Did it not work out for us? Is it a bounce back spot? Or are we staying away for a little while?
I don't know. I don't like him very much right now. I know that. I hate his haircut. He looks dumb. He looks silly. I mean, he's just like...
We saw it on PGA Tour Live.
Looks like Lucas Glover Light. Like,
well, you know what he's trying to do is make sure that people know the difference between him, Harris English, and Patton Kizzire, because there was that, you know, whole thing going around. Let's move on to Kevin Tway. Kevin Tway plays drivable par fours pretty well. Take a look into it if you don't believe me. Is that enough to get him through to the weekend? That and, of course, the four par fives.
I mean, Kevin Tway, relative to the salary range, I mean, he's got to be a guy that you want to be looking at a little bit here. Rory Sabatini, 6,900 up there, probably somebody that I'm going to click on as well. I mean,
Grayson Sigg at all? I mean, makes a lot of cuts.
Grayson Sigg's all right. You're going to have to find ways to get to this range. We want to play some guys in the upper 10K range, and I'm not saying that they're the safest plays in the entire world, but yeah, okay, fine. I'm going to play some Augustine. Just relax with that. I promise I will. Steven Yeager and him in the same lineup, then that way I can't lose, right?
Oh, geez. I mean, I tried to play Yeager. Obviously, that's why you're bringing it up. And I thought the week where driving accuracy didn't matter would be good. Then you look at his drives, and he had like five drives to unknown. And that's on a course that you shouldn't be doing that. But anyways, another story for another day. Denny McCarthy popped up here last year because of his putting. Never his driver, sorry. That was, as did JT Poston. As do Chess and Hadley when he plays well. So three guys, you know what, throw in Andrew Putnam there too. Guys that only play well when they putt well. Of those four, are you playing any this week?
No, I'll play some Poston. I mean,
you're a sicko too.
Well, I'm a sicko. Everybody. And plus this is like my guy. I always bring him up on shows because like he gets himself randomly in contention for no reason whatsoever.
And there's nothing to show it either. That is
nothing.
Coming.
Yeah. It's a true like hot hand thing where he just has like a switch flip and then he's there. That's hard to find it underneath 7K. Like, and back to back years finishing in the top 20 here. Obviously, he had the second, I believe it was, or third that he had last year. So JT Poston, somebody that I'm going to be clicking on an irrational amount this week, and don't at me.
All right. I love that. That's a great voice. I don't know if you've used that before or not, but I'm going to have you bring that up again. Two guys that bogeyed a par five to miss the cut last week. They would probably be priced not way higher, but considerably higher if they made the cut and did anything over the weekend. So two names, Doc Redmond, Trey Mullinex, do you want either? Again, both missed on the number after bogeying a par five to miss the cut.
Doesn't Mullinex just murder the golf ball?
Oh God, he hits it so far.
Yeah, so we're gonna roster some Mullinex on a bad field event. Like we're gonna do that. That's gonna be.
We're gonna get him through the weekend, right?
Yeah, we're gonna get him through the weekend. If we can get him through the weekend, we could party, and you know that'll feel like a win altogether. But
totally agree.
Again, a lot of who I'm gonna be clicking on underneath here is gonna come down to like we can try to make something happen for most of these guys, or kind of like concoct our own little reasoning. But it comes down to their listed at 6K for a reason, because comparative to the rest of the field, they're just not that good. And so we're trying to pick and choose a couple of these spots. We're seeing more and more, so much concentrated ownership above 7K. But if you want to go out and win a tournament and you want exposure to Sam Burns, who's, you know, a plus 150 favorite to finish as a top 10, a guy like Sergio Garcia, we know the kind of upside he has coming off of a win here last year. If you want to be rostering one or two of those guys in the same lineup, you've got to dip your toes below 7K. And I feel more comfortable doing it on a week like this where everybody's bad to begin with than I do on other weeks where, man, we're really trying to really spread ourselves thin to roster some sub 7K guys.
I got a couple of guys that I want to talk about still in the 6,500 and below. First one, as I move down the roster list, that got himself into the playoffs last year, got his card back after a really difficult off the field season, got COVID, got hospitalized from it. It's Amrabhan Lahiri, man, 6,200. The guy hasn't missed the cut in a while. Did he miss Safeway? I didn't check and see if he missed Safeway because DraftKings, they don't have the new season uploaded yet. So it's all of last season and they didn't add Safeway in. So that'll click over probably a week or two. And that's my quickest way when I'm on the show. So regardless, 6,200 Lahiri, whether he made the cut 2 weeks ago or not, you got to think at 6,200, it's a good price.
Here. I'm so helpful. Look at me actually doing my job well here. Found it. Northern Trust last turn. No, you're right. It didn't load in at this other place that I go to find this stuff. Amrabhan Lahiri is always fine. That is Ben's boy. Third at the Barbasol. It is.
That's why I brought him up. Boy. Yeah.
Fifth at Valero Texas Open. I mean, it seems like some of these guys that I keep listing off, and I'm going to have to just like go back and listen to myself, like how vain is that? But a couple of these guys that you've really brought up here today, it seems as though they play well in some of these weaker field events. Barbasol third, Valero Texas Open fifth.
Exactly. He did not play in Safeway, by the way.
There's a trend. Yeah, he didn't play at it. Yep. That's why it's not coming up. I was kind of stalling there a little bit, but the same point remains. Amrabhan Lahiri, 6,200. He's a better player than 6,200. That's just a mispricing. And I expect for him to get, you know, maybe 4 or 5% ownership, which compared to the range is going to be a lot down there. I can't imagine people are going to like, I'd say he's the most quality player underneath 6,400. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. No doubt. Yeah. I think that, all right, here's where my sicko mind is going to come in and say to you, why haven't we seen a good Brandon Wu?
Because he's maybe just not as good as we were hoping. And he's got Ty Tryon syndrome. Do you get that reference?
Oh, I know the Ty Tryon. I know that story. Yeah. That's for sure. Now, did Wu come out and play when he was like 15 or 16? Is that when we heard about him?
No, just, I mean, like a guy that you just expect the world of and nothing just
not be good. Yeah.
It just happens. And again, we've seen it at times at the amateur level and it's not translating right now. I don't know what the deal is. He, you know, T27 Nationwide Children's Hospital, the Albertsons Boise Open T43. I mean, even at the Korn Ferry Tour level, not really making his mark here right now. 78, 75 at the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. I mean, just don't play him. Stop trying to make him a thing right now. If he spikes and burns you this week, it would be shocking. But I mean, I feel like he's a guy that you've made like a piece of stuff that you've been doing. And I expected him to be good too. So, I mean, I'm in the same camp. It's shocking. We got to say no. Just say no to Brandon Wood.
We can't play him when Lahiri's sitting right there with four straight made cuts and a third place at basically this same event at the Barbasol, you know, for all intents and purposes. So as much as I want him to be a thing, I totally agree with you this week. It'd be silly to click him. Now, below 6,200, I mean, it does. There are some names. Kevin Chappell, obviously, people have known about. Parbar Jean made a cut a couple of weeks ago. There ain't anybody else down here, right?
I got nothing for you. I mean, it's Lahiri or bust. I think Ogletree, you can click some on. I mean, local guy, we talked about him literally is like the first or second name of the show. Good times had by all, but Kevin Chappell once upon a time was a guy you wanted to play. I don't think you want to be jumping at the bit to get to him, but 6,100, I'm sure he'll have a couple shares in 150. So it's 6,100. I think he's the last guy in the grouping.
All right. So our last thing is best bets. It's 5:00. So we're just about out of here. However, judging by what you and I both just talked about, and given the fact that, you know, he's still priced down there pretty well, pretty low, I want to turn to Amrabhan Lahiri and I want to look at his top 20 odds. I think this week, given the fact that he's priced so low, let's see if I can pull him up rather quickly. And I'm right now. using BetMGM. For all of you that are, I'm going to quote this. Looks like he's plus 200 to win. They haven't put their top 10 odds, but given that he's plus 200 to 1 to win, probably something in the 5 to 8 to 1 range for the top 20. I like that a lot. Again, we just saw him in this almost exact same event, in my opinion, at the Barbersol, coming to T3. So I'm going to lean to Lahiri for an odds to win. This is the one thing I was going to ask you about with Burns, and this is a good way to close the show. It is undeniable that he felt gutted not being picked for the Ryder Cup team. He thought he was playing some of the best golf of anybody, said he's the most motivated he's ever been, obviously probably wants to get on a Ryder Cup team. Does he come back out firing and wins this at 16 to 1 for us this week, or is he going to try a little bit too hard and it's not going to be there?
I can't bet him at this number. I refuse. It's too short of a number to be getting on him. And, you know, that second at the WGC St. Jude, I'm just going to continue to bring that up because it will. Luckily, I was able to get a little bit of money on the other side, but it was a three-way playoff. And so I wasn't able to get like complete exposure. I was had to bet on Hideki as well to get a little bit in there. You know, it ends up being Abraham Anser, who I had a lot of in DFS. I had a lot of those together, but I had no Bryson, and Bryson still put up a lot of points that week. So those were sad times, but I'm really kind of looking at Sam Burns as a guy that I'm going to play in DFS. Way too short of a number for me to get anywhere close for him, but he is a Bermuda expert. I think he's kind of proven that. That's something that I pointed out as kind of one of my main reasonings of trying to go to him earlier here, you know, at that WGC event. I think it's just too short of a number. I think we're looking at value. You want to talk about Anderbaan Lahiri, bet him at 40 to 1 for a top five. I mean, that is extremely live. I think there's a number of these sub, you know, whatever place. Steven Yeager is 16 to 1 top five. I mean, look at that. Look at those two next to each other. That is just wrong. So that tells you that Yeager's definitely getting some public interest or people are trying to make that a thing. Give me the Lahiri side every single time. More of a known quantity.
For sure. All right. Listen, Ryan Nelsus is doing our job in the chat, letting people know on your way out, make sure you like and subscribe to our channel here. Get notified in the fall swing. I'm doing a PGA picks and fades short form video if you didn't catch enough here. And of course, we do drag Ben in for at least one golf talk. We can't go a week where Griot's in the top 10 and not have him come on. You guys are going to bring the house down Wednesday live before lock. And then, of course, we'll be back next week.